Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
I would like for us this morning to look carefully at the 107th Psalm. And being that the 107th Psalm is such a lengthy Psalm, we're going to look at this few sections of this Psalm. And I want to take this section by section as I come to the points that I would like to make in this message today. But this 107th Psalm is a Hebrew song. It's a song about the glad reunion of the exiles from captivity. It tells the story of a people who had lost everything dear to them. By the way, we need to be praying for the people in Maui, and you know, you see all this devastation of people losing everything that they have. And in this psalm that we're looking at today, it tells the story of a people who had lost everything at the hands of their captors, and because of the persecution and the oppression, their homeland was ravaged, their temple was destroyed, their national dignity had been trampled underfoot. But this psalm is also a psalm of hope and redemption. How many of you today know that the God we serve is a God of hope? A God who's faithful to His promise. A God who's faithful to deliver His people. In fact, the story of the Bible is the story of God finding His people and delivering His people. I could go into detail this morning talking about how God delivered Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah, and Daniel from the lion's den, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace, the disciples from the storm, the apostles from prison. God is a God who's able to find and deliver His people. Do you believe that today? And so, what this 107th Psalm demonstrates for us is that God is in control. God is in control of history. God is the one who has the power to build people up and the power to take people down if necessary. God is the one who has the power to build nations up and to take nations down. He has the power over all thrones and kingdoms and authorities. But I have some good news for you today. I want to encourage you today in this message. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. If you belong to God, you're God's property. I have some good news for you. God is going to take care of you. He's going to take care of His church. Do you believe it today? I do. And just as God triumphed over Egypt when He initially delivered these people from Egypt, and then He brought them into the promised land, and then again, because of their sin and their rebellion, they ended up in captivity and bondage again, God was still faithful to restore His people. He brought them back from this captivity. And it was a day of hope. It was a day of joy. It was a day of redemption. I want you to look at the opening words of this psalm before I get into the points that I'm going to make. But I want you to look at these opening words of praise and thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Do you know that today, that God is a good God? His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. There are other translations that say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. This one says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Do you have a story today to tell? Do you have a story of God's grace, God's deliverance in your life, God's provision in your life? Do you have a story like that to tell? Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from north and south. What we're looking at here today in this psalm is the happy ending to a sad story. There are four parts to this story that I want to examine this morning that trace their history. And each part of this story, there's the good and the bad. And it also serves as a symbolic picture for us of the hopelessness of humankind, the hopelessness of human life apart from God, but also the power of God to save, to redeem, and to deliver. Let's look first of all here. We see a lost people. Look at this passage. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. That's a phrase that's repeated numerous times in this psalm. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. What we see here in this first point that I want to make, we see people that were lost. They were just wandering around aimlessly. Their souls were fainting. They were hungry and thirsty. They were lacking the provisions that they needed. But God saw their trouble. They cried out to the Lord, and He satisfied their thirst. He filled their hungry souls with what is good. I want to tell you today, there are lost people all around us. You may be lost today. Maybe you're here. It's no accident that you're here today. If you don't know Jesus, He's speaking to you. There are lost people all throughout our nation. There are lost people all throughout the world. And there are people everywhere, and they're saying, I can be my own God. I'm in control of my own life. And the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Jeremiah the prophet said, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself. Look at this verse. I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his own steps. You know, there are a lot of animals that just seem like they have a built-in compass. You know, if they get lost from, or they can find their way back. Try getting rid of a stray cat after you give it a bowl of milk. I did this. I tried this. I'm not a cat person. If you are, that's great. But not me. But I saw this stray cat, and because I'm such a kind, loving person, I saw this cat, and the cat looked kind of thin to me, and it was hungry, you know, but all dogs and cats, they always look hungry. and so, this was many, many years ago, before I learned my lesson, and this cat showed up, and I gave it a bowl of milk and some food or whatever, and I took that cat out to my father-in-law's farm. I thought, this would be a good farm cat, you know, took it out there several miles away. Cat came back. It took me a long time to get rid of that cat. I was that cat's best friend after that. But here's the thing. What does God compare us to? What does God liken us to? Sheep. Sheep have to be led. Sheep need a shepherd. That's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Bible says, we are the sheep of His pasture. And here's the good news today. Jesus is, remember, the good what? the good shepherd. He came to seek and to save the lost. Folks, I want to tell you something. Here's the good news of the gospel. No matter how lost we get, no matter how far away we get, He can find us. He'll leave the 99 to find one lost sheep. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:13, we who were once far off, see, we were all lost at one time. We who were once far off have been brought near, how? By the blood of Jesus, that sacrifice He made for us. So, first thing we see a lost people. Secondly, we see in this psalm a captive people. And I want you to pay careful attention to this. Stay with me here on this point. Look at this passage. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound. You see, they were captive. They were bound in affliction and irons because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. But then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. What do we see here? We see darkness. We see irons. We see chains. We see helplessness here. Why? Because they rebelled against the Word of God. They spurned His counsel. And I want you to know today that when anyone rebels against God and spurns His counsel, it is going to lead into spiritual darkness. One of the most vivid examples of demonic activity is found in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 5, the Gerasene demoniac. Here was this guy. He came to the place in his life where here he was running around naked among tombs. No one could control him. I call him the nude dude in a rude mood. And he was totally out of control. He was possessed with a legion of demons. But here's the point I want to make. This guy didn't just wake up one morning demon-possessed. No one does. He took steps in his life, and as he gave over his life to demonic activity, he became captive. He became bound. And this is what I like to say to especially any young people who are here today. 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good character. You get around your friend. I know there's a lot of peer pressure for young people, and here's what happens. They get around and they start giving in here and there, and they take these steps and their steps, and it leads to darkness. Before long, they're doing something by impulse. There's no control. That's what demon activity is all about, where a person doesn't have any control over their impulses. And then before long, there's spiritual darkness. And that's what happened to this Gerasene demoniac. But here's the good news. No one could handle this guy until Jesus came along. Jesus. He met Jesus. And they found Him dressed and in His right mind. It's a perfect picture of peace that God brought in. He delivered him. He delivered him from all of this demonic activity and spiritual darkness. I want you to look at this verse here. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. In this psalm, these people, they recognized their spiritual darkness. They cried out in their trouble, in their desperation. They cried out in their distresses. And here's what happened. This is the God we serve. He broke the chains. There's a song, there's a modern song called Break the Chains, Break Every Chain. That's what Jesus does. That's what He did in my life when I was bound in darkness. He breaks the chains and He broke down the bronze gate and cut the iron bars in two. I've got some good news today. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We're not talking about religion, folks. Okay? Religion can't do for you what I'm talking about. It's only Jesus, through the power of the resurrection, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that brings deliverance from spiritual darkness. Okay, I need to move on here. Two more points. The third point I want to make. So we see a lost people, a captive people. Number three, a sick people. Look at this. Fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their souls abhorred all manner. They were so sick they couldn't even eat. They drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. These people were, they were sick. They had all kinds of problems, body and soul. There are all kinds of sicknesses. Physical sickness. There's mental sickness, emotional sickness. The worst is spiritual sickness. I want to tell you something right now, in case you're not aware of this. This country, the United States of America that we love, this country is sick. We've never been as sick as we are right now. And we need deliverance. We need healing. That's the good news. There's still hope for us in this country. And here's what we need to do. We need to return to God. We need to return to God's Word. We need to return to prayer. He sent His Word and healed them. We need God's Word. We need God's power in this nation. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Okay. One more point I want to make today from this psalm. So we see a lost people, a captive people, people that were sick, and then a storm-tossed people. Look at this passage. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. These people were caught in a storm. And it says here, they are at their wit's end. Have you ever been at your wit's end? Anybody? Don't everybody raise a hand at once. Someone once said, when you're at your wit's end or when you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on for dear life. Yeah, you know what I say? When you're at the end of your rope, let go and fall into the arms of Jesus. That's what you do. When you come to the end of your rope, when you're at your wit's end. And here's what they did. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm. See, this is the good, loving, merciful God that we serve. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. And they are glad. Why are they glad? Because he's quieted the storm. He's quieted the wind and the waves. So he guides them to their desired haven. God's going to bring us to the storm. What a glad reunion it's going to be one day when we come to our desired haven. God leads us into His eternal kingdom. We're in heaven with our friends and our loved ones who have gone on before us. What a glad day of reunion that's going to be. But I want to say here, before I close this message out, I want to say a couple things about the storm. First of all, navigating the storm. Because that's what we have to do. The storm is unavoidable. You cannot live in this life without at some time going through a storm. Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world you will have trouble. You're going to have some tribulation in this life. But he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And the people of Israel could not escape the storm. The disciples, Jesus' hand-picked disciples, could not escape the storm. And you remember one time, Jesus didn't get in the boat with them. He just said, go over to the other side. And a storm came up. They made it. When Jesus said, when he tells you you're going to go to the other side, you're going to get there. And they made it through the storm. They got to the other side. One other time, he was in the boat with them. He was sleeping when the storm came. And he rose up. He spoke to the wind and the waves, peace be still. And they obeyed him because he's the living, eternal Son of God. And so, here's what I say today. Yes, the storms are unavoidable. The storms are inevitable. But when you sail with Jesus, you will never go through the storm alone. And he'll take you to the other side. Amen. Do you believe that today? And here's the last thing I want to say in this message today. I want to talk about how he calms the storm, because that's exactly what he did. It tells us here in these few verses that he calmed the storm. The waves were still. People were glad because the storm was quieted. And he guided them to their desired haven. So I say this as I come to a close. Look, listen, I want God to do some ministry here today if you have a need. You don't have to come forward for me. You do it for yourself. But maybe today you are going through a storm. Maybe it's a storm of suffering. Maybe it's a storm of doubt. Maybe it's a relational storm, a financial storm, a spiritual storm. Whatever it may be that you're going through. I know this today. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still calms the storm. And he could do that in your life if you'll come today. Whatever your need is today, allow God to minister to your heart. And just, regardless of where we are, he can find us and meet us right where we are in our lives. Would you join me in prayer?
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.